This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
What have you said to me recently?
Recently.
Rock the boat.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am.
You got your game on, Scott? I mean, like, are you going to get your game on?
It's already on. It's always on. I never have to slip it on because I'm always ready to go.
Oh, interesting. Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. I have with yours truly Mr. Bradley Dean, and to the right of me, our Stephanie Joy. Now, folks, if you'd like to check us out online, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and or go to the brand-new website, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Folks, it's taken over. It is taken over, and we appreciate that. sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can also follow us on our Twitter account, BradleyDean1. BradleyDean1, if you'd like to check us out, we got fan pages set up for Sons of Liberty Radio, Sons of Liberty Media, and Bradley Dean, again, a Bradley Dean. Folks, this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And Stephanie, can you tell us why that is?
Well, the reason why that is because it's just a terrible place to be when your brains are in somebody else's head. You
That's
don't want to be brainless.
We have the mind of Christ.
That's right. We want to have the mind of Christ, the heart of God. Always want to be led by the Spirit. I can't stand people who always copy other people and they're brainless.
Can't stands it.
No, can't stands for no brainlessness.
Can't stands infernal brainlessness.
Maybe think a little house in the prairie. Can't stand for no peeking. But today we're going to be talking a little bit about love. We were talking about that last week. We're going to carry over
a love in a way that you've never heard it before, because again, the preachers from the pulpits fail to preach this love. But we're going to lay it to your candor, and you can decide what real love is, because I see love and I understand love in demonstration. As a matter of fact, that's the only way Christ ever gave love, was in demonstration, because nowhere can you find in Scripture, friends, Jesus Christ telling his apostles that he loved them anywhere, but he did demonstrate it. That's why we always are continuously making reference to Scripture, 1 John 3:18.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. It's 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So you were talking a little bit about how the preachers are not bringing forth love in its truest sense, but I want to go back to a preacher who did, and that was Mr. Charles Spurgeon, Mr. Prince of Preachers. This is what he had to say about love. He said, "Love and self-denial for the object loved go hand in hand. If I profess to love a certain person and yet will neither give my silver nor my gold to relieve his wants, nor in any way deny myself comfort or ease for his sake, such love is contemptible. It wears the name but lacks the reality of love."
Yep.
True love must be measured by the degree to which the person loving will be willing to subject himself to crosses and losses, to suffering and self-denials. After all, the value of a thing in the market is what a man will give for it, and you must estimate the value of a man's love by that which he is willing to give up for it.
Amen.
Speaking of Christ's love for us on the cross, I mean, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ's love towards us was absolutely selfless.
Well, when you look at what Charles Spurgeon said as well, he said, "Hold on then, you dear friends, to the words of Christ, even though you do not always understand them." He said, "I must also remind you that every word of threatening that Jesus Christ has spoken is true." He said, "Oh, that we could see his face and heard the very tones of his voice. There must have been some inexpressible sweetness and ineffable tenderness about the speech of Jesus Christ. All those who heard him speak knew that he had loved them. And the publicans and the sinners, the poor offcasts, those who were scouted doubted by everybody else, drew near to him because they felt that their sympathy towards them and the great heart of his. Yet, did you ever notice, you must have noticed, that never a man spake such terrible threatenings to the ungodly as Jesus Christ did. It was Jesus who spoke of the worm that never dies and of the fire that shall never be quenched. It was Jesus who spoke of destroying both body and soul in hell. It was he who said many of the most terrible things about future punishment that ever were uttered, such as the parable of the rich man who died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and Lazarus, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water, and my tongue, my cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. When you hear men soften down the threatenings of scriptures, do not believe that love suggests such a course of action. It is often the proof of true love that it can speak harsh things. If a man comes and tells you very pleasant things about yourself, beware of him. He is not your friend. But the man who can warn you, who can point out your fault and folly, who can run the risk of losing your esteem by indicating your danger, that is the one who has a sincere affection for you, and a wise man will ever choose such a friend as that. Whatever might think, you might think, or they might think or say, there is not a terrible word that fell from the Savior's lips which will not be affected by your likes or dislikes, because Scripture tells us, he that believeth shall not be damned.
That's exactly right. And you know, the Bible also says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Spurgeon said, perhaps some of you do not feel that there is anything very remarkable in this love of the Lord to the loveless. I should like you to try if you could love someone who has nothing nothing about him that is at all lovable. So again, going back to that scripture verse, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were dead in our sins, nothing lovable about us. We were thankless. We were godless. We were, you know, reprobates. But Christ, still in his love and mercy, chose to die for our sins, and that is such a great love, because even while we were yet sinners, Christ still chose to die for us.
Yeah, here in his love, not that we loved him, but he loved us and sent his son to be a sacrifice for our sins. We're also going to exemplify and exhibit love the best that we can by the Holy Ghost to teach you that it's ridiculous, friends, to overlook judgment because of kindness. Because if you overlook judgment because of kindness, then you wound love by killing justice. Let me say that again. How ridiculous to overlook judgment because of kindness, then love wounds itself by killing justice. Justice is what we need. Love magnifies the law against crime, not against itself. So we need to keep that in mind. And keep in mind, friends, the Old Testament and the New Testament, everything that Jesus Christ did was in love. Last week we were talking about how 11 of the 12 apostles were martyred. Why were they martyred? They weren't out preaching God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And I'll tell you why they didn't. Because it's not scriptural. And friends, I've searched scriptures high and low for the Jesus loves you gospel. And again, friends, I can't find it. And I'll tell you why it's not there. Why I don't preach on it? Because it's not there. If it was there, I would gladly preach it. Oh, how that would appease men's flesh. And that's exactly what it does. But let me tell you, that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life runs counter to what Scripture actually teaches. And that sort of preaching, friends, is a crossless preaching. It does not understand the power of God unto salvation. It savors that of men and not of God. And when we come back, folks, we're going to get back to it. We're going to go to Paul. And folks, I love this, and I rest assured, sit down, relax, check this out, because you've never, ever heard it said this way before. We'll be right back after the break here. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Phone lines are accessible as well, 1-866-233-0747. Be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. And order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for Life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Imagine if you had a secret code for making money. A code buried deep within biblical text. A code that certain investment titans have quietly exploited to amass billions. And what if this code could be used by you today to unlock vast amounts of wealth safely and ethically? Investment expert and former pastor Sean Hyman says there is such a code. He calls it the Biblical Money Code. Sean credits this code for helping him go from making a mere $15,000 a year to now giving away up to $50,000 a year. And today you have a chance to tap into this life-changing code by visiting the website moneycode23.com. That's moneycode, the number 23.com. At moneycode23.com, you will find a free video that describes how you could use this biblical code in your own life to get out of debt and invest for profits. Visit moneycode23.com for free today. That's moneycode23.com.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media? It's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Get the news with resolve.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Back to the point, 1-866-233-0747. If you'd like to call in at any time, please do. Give us a call. We love the interaction, 1-866-233-0747. Folks, as I was saying right before the break, I've searched Scripture high and low for the Jesus loves you gospel, and I can't find it. Man, if I stopped right there for 35 seconds, people would be thinking, they'd be freaking out. Wait a second, that's not what I was told. That's not what I was told. Does God love you? Absolutely He loves you, but through demonstration, not through lip service. And it's interesting, the professed church of today gives much lip service, but no action. Contrary, counter to Scripture, friends. Again, nowhere can I find of any of the apostles telling sinners that Jesus loved them. Again, the Bible does say, for God so loved the world in John 3:16, but each reference to the love of God is in direct reference to the cross of Jesus Christ, not without, but to the cross. Here's a few examples for you. Here in His love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to die for us, to be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the appeasement for our sins, violations towards God's moral law, 1 John 4:10. God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends, John 15:13. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, 1 John 3:16. Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for an offering. Ephesians 5:2. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth, that's a verb, that's an action verb. John 3:16. So where is God's love? How was it that the Apostle Paul knew that God loved him? Because oftentimes he was hungry and naked. Friends, he was whipped, beaten, stoned, and so depressed that one time he even wanted to die. Now, do you think he was preaching God loves you and has a wonderful plan for his life? Because if he was, I guarantee you, people wouldn't have, well, withheld food from him. He wouldn't have been destitute of his clothes. He wouldn't have been whipped. He wouldn't have been beaten. He wouldn't have been stoned by people. And he wouldn't have been depressed because he would have been everybody's man, just like Aaron was. Take off your gold. I'll make a calf and have him go before you. These be thy gods, O Israel. Remember him? Yeah. And Moses came down and rebuked him majorly. And God was angry with Aaron and wanted to destroy him. What's being taught today, friends? Just that. Give me your money. These be thy gods, O America. It runs counter to Scripture. Paul was mocked. He was hated. He was shipwrecked. He was in prison for years. And then finally martyred. So what did he look to, that being Paul? Assurance of God's love for him. He didn't look at his lifestyle, because to the unlearned eye, it didn't exactly speak of God's caring hand for him. His abundant life was certainly full, but it wasn't full of what we think it should have been if God loved him. Matter of fact, if you would, visualize with me, please. Paul, lying half naked on a cold dungeon floor, chained to a hardened Roman guard. Look at Paul's bloody back and bruised, swollen face. Paul, hey, dude, you've been beaten again, haven't you? Hey, Paul, where are your friends? Where's Demas and the others that have forsaken you? Where's your expensive chariot and your successful building program, Paul? Where's the evidence of God's blessing, Paul? What's that, Paul? What did you say? Did I hear you mumble through your swollen lips that God loves you? Paul slowly lifts his head up. His black and bruised eyes look deeply into yours. They sparkle as he says two words. The cross. Let me say it again. The cross. He painfully reaches into his blood-drenched tunic and carefully pulls out a large letter he had been writing in his own hand. His trembling and blood-stained finger points to one sentence in particular. You strain your eyes in the dim light and read Galatians 2:21. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. And let's take that to the natural really quick. Steph, last night we were watching a documentary called Hornet. And many of these Marines were sacrificed for the freedoms of the American people. Agree or disagree, it's true. Mm-hmm. They were there magnifying the Constitution of the United States of America against their enemy, okay, that they believed was their enemy. Now, interestingly enough, right when they get off the bus in Paris Island, right when they get into basic training before they can become a Marine, you know what they have to do? They're told by the captain, the drill sergeant, to get off the bus and to put their feet in the yellow painted shoes in the hundreds. They jump off the bus, they put their feet inside of those feet, and he begins to tell them what those yellow painted feet on the pavement meant.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the men that have sacrificed their lives before them. They're there basically replacing those men. They're there and there with honor, saying, listen, these are those brave and faithful Marines that have gone before you. Now you're coming to fill in their footprints. The same thing that's expected of you as it was expected of them, and you're going to fight for your country. And immediately what they do is they strip them of who they are to make them who they're going to be, which
exactly.
Is soldiers for the United States.
So let me ask you something. In the natural, does that captain, does that drill sergeant hate them? Or in truth, does he, by his actions, love them?
He loves not only the new recruits that are coming in, but he loves those men and women who have sacrificed their lives before those recruits so much to say, listen, this freedom that we have is not in vain. Many men and women have died to preserve it for you. You're coming in here. He's honoring both their sacrifice and these new guys coming in by saying, you're going to do the same thing because I care about what they did for you, and you're going to do the same thing for your posterity.
And he also mentions the fact that you're not going to shame them.
Right.
You're not going to step into those footsteps and shame them men that died to give you what you have. And therefore, to make sure that they're not shamed, the drill sergeant's going to treat them accordingly, just as Stephanie said. He's going to break them down. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Then what they do is they put obstacles in front of them. And keep in mind, friends, God doesn't put obstacles in your way so you can walk around them like the modern-day church does. No, that's not what they're for. As a matter of fact, it was Jesus that said, your faith, when you believe, when you pray, say unto that mountain, be thou removed. He didn't say walk around. He said take it head on. And that's exactly what faith does. It takes on the obstacles. If you have obstacles in front of you right now, friends, just rest assured they're there for the purpose that God is creating you to be greater as He that is in you than he that is in the world, because we know that faith overcomes the world. And whose faith is that? Well, Paul knew that. It was the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. Back to Paul, speaking of real love. Paul knew that when God created the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sky that surrounds this massive earth, he displayed to humanity his incredible power, his majesty, and his glory in the same way the cross of Calvary displayed to humanity the evidence of God's love towards us. Romans 5:8 again. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that was the source of Paul's joy. Go to Hebrews 12. And thus his strength. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 6:14? But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Jesus Christ. So friends, if there's any economic recession, those who look solely to the material blessings, as many do, as evidence of God's love, will think that God has forsaken them. So those who look to the cross as a token of God's love, however, will never doubt his steadfast devotion to them. Because again, the cross is the show of God's love for the world. It is the focal point of our message. Calvary's cross is the very evidence and essence of the gospel. Yet I again have lost the times I've heard preachers of the gospel, professed preachers of the gospel, even mention it. Jesus told the Pharisees that they had omitted the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and therein is our message. There is the proper arrangement. It is because of judgment that we need mercy, and the way to obtain mercy is through faith. So, what am I saying? Man, there's so much I could say in all of this.
Yeah.
What am I saying? I'm saying that it is a grave error to tell unrepentant or impenitent sinners of God's love in Christ without direct mention of the cross. Why did Christ die? Well, he died for our sins. What is sin? That's where you lose 99% of the people that profess their Christianity. Okay, you've been saved from your sin, Matthew 1:21. Jesus came into the world to save his people from their sin, but yet you don't know what you've been saved from because you've never repented for your sin. And how could you repent for your sin if you don't know what God's moral law declares? Until you know what you have violated, you have no reason to repent. Right? Exodus 20. And then going to Romans 3:20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You can also read Romans 7:7. We're going to come right back to this topic. I'm also going to try to pull up Thomas Brooks' version of love. The turn of the century, friends. Incredibly powerful. But again, it runs counter to the modern day gospel, which is not gospel. It's not good news, friends, to those that don't know what the bad news is. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door is locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball? Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them. Help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com.
And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
One World Whey is derived from Amish grass-pastured cows and is newly reformulated to be higher in protein. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Are you ready to surrender your right to buy body armor? No joke. Congress is now trying to outlaw civilian body armor. And if House Bill H.R. 5344 becomes law, you can kiss your right to protect yourself against rifle bullets goodbye. Don't put off your body armor purchase any longer. Go now to InfidelBodyArmor.com. Thousands of military veterans trust their lives to Infidel Body Armor. You should too. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
To call in, we are at the halfway mark at the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. 1-866-233-0747. Again, 1-866-233-0747. By the way, friends, I did find that Thomas Brooks, it's a short definition of love, and it's from the 1800s. Now, I'm going to read that to you in just a couple minutes when I finish this point up here with Paul here. And blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord. This is the version of love for the 1800s. I'll get to that in just a minute. But going back to my point here, what exactly am I saying? I'm saying that it is a grave error to tell impenitent sinners of God's love in Christ without direct mention of the cross. And why? Because the Bible doesn't do so. Let me say that again. Because the Bible doesn't do so. So why are the modern day preachers preaching opposite of Scripture? And it's interesting when we talk much of love, friends, and I shared this with you a couple days ago. It's interesting, those that want to teach you love, they lack love. As a matter of fact, let me tell you this. This is my testimonial. When Paul shared his testimony, it didn't mean he was bitter or he was angry. He was sharing with the world what Christ delivered him from. Folks, I started out in a prosperity church that preached just exactly this. And I remember in one particular moment in my life where I'd called the pastor and I said, "Listen, you know what? It's interesting that there's so many people that talk about love, yet when it comes time to demonstrate that love, there's no one there to demonstrate it, but they sure do offer it up with their lips." You know, and I've observed this. And I've observed this for years. It's interesting, all of them that had something to teach me and the body of Christ when I first got into the church, There's only a handful. I think there's two out of six people that come to mind right now that are still serving God.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them went back to the world because that's where their heart was. But they wanted to teach you the love of God. That says it's okay both ways. No, it is not. It's called adultery. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6, and then going over to James 4, 4. You adulterers, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Friends, there is lines that are drawn in the sand concerning Scripture. Everything is black and white. There is nothing gray. I'd rather have you hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said, write one Scripture down from that point. In Revelation 3, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. This was far from their doctrine. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Far from their doctrine. Yet, what they were exemplifying and what they were exhibiting was a flattering tongue. And when I read the Scriptures, it tells me a flattering tongue spoileth the soul. And by the way, that falls into perfect line as to what the younger generation, namely our posterity, are dealing with. Church, they're trying to figure out, namely our posterity, where the love is. They're tired of your lip service. I could go off on a little rant with this right now, a little rabbit trail with this. How many times I've heard people say, oh, I'll die for these kids. Why don't you live for them first? And that's really what it comes down to. Because when it's time to get in there and actually spare our posterity of the indoctrinations illegally being thrown on them, everybody seems to be MIA. As a matter of fact, when we were doing high school assemblies just in the five-state area, we were the only ones that we knew of that were actually doing it. And yet the American people stand down and let the one or two teachers in each particular school shut them down and poison their children. And that's exactly what's going on. To counter that, I would say, where's the love? Because I see the love of the prophets breaking through. I see the love of the apostles breaking through, not asking for permission, because they were the ones that said to those, namely the Pharisees and the scribes, that didn't want them teaching any longer in the name of Jesus, that, hey, it's better for us to obey God than you, Mr. Hypocrite. And guess who tried and attempted to bar the way every step of the way? It was the Pharisees that went from city to city persecuting who? Those that were actually breaking in and loving on the people. You see how that works? And again, friends, why are people in America, namely from the pulpits, telling their congregants that Jesus loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life when it's not in Scripture? Persecutions, trials, you're going to be hated for my namesake.
Yeah.
You're going to be killed, John 16. They're going to cast you out of the church. They're going to think that they do God a service. Again, we talked about the 11 of the 12 apostles being martyred. And that had nothing to do with the prophets that were stoned and killed, friends. And by the way, that had nothing to do with Jesus Christ being crucified for the sins of the world. Man, friends, you folks out there, you undo yourself because you don't take time to read the Scriptures and to know who Christ is through experience, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ.
I want to add to that, if you go to John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21, Jesus stood in the midst of them unto his disciples, and he said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. But what did he do? He showed the price that came along with that being called and chosen,
yeah,
and what happened to the disciples.
Yeah.
All of them were martyred, except for one, and that was a miraculous, you know, escape. But when you look at that, the high cost is Jesus saying, listen, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have done these things unto Christ, what will they do unto
that's
us?
Right.
We have to make
calling
sure
calling him
that,
the devil, calling him right. Beelzebub. And it's like, my gosh, people, do you not? It's so simple to discern what is of God and what is not of God. And we are called as the church, folks, to make distinction between that which is holy and that which is defiled. And most people don't know it's holy because they don't walk in holiness, yet it's a commandment given unto us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the book of Peter. Okay? But I got to finish this point. How can we mention the cross of Christ without reference to sin? And how on earth can we mention sin without reference to the law? Because, well, I ask, is the sinner of today more learned than the Apostle Paul, who said in Romans 7:7, I had not known sin but by the law? New Testament, friends, has God changed his mind in using the law to bring knowledge of sin? Galatians 3:24. If we want to show sinners that Jesus loves them, we must do so biblically, or guess what, friends? They will spurn his love. They'll reject it. And it's interesting, we can evoke a tearful response by telling sinners that God loves them, because it's certainly less offensive to receivers and therefore an easier message to give. But friends, let me say this again. It's unscriptural. So why is it happening in the pulpits today? And let me ask you another question. Where is the lawless love brought America to? Right to the present today where we're at. This is the version that the professed church in America... This is the definition of their love. Where right now, and where is it? It's a lawless love. And what does Scripture tell us? The love of many will wax cold. Why? Because of the workers of iniquity. In other words, they either refuse to deal with it, they ignore it, or, friends, at length, they're a part of it. And I say this, and listen to me carefully. Tyrants rise when love and judgment dies. And I just have to seriously ask the question, especially finding out a couple weeks ago that 90% of the pastors in this country know the issues that they're supposed to preach against, but they do it not. Did you hear what I said? A study by Barna Research found that 90% of the pastors, not just making reference or just, you know, a drive-by and say, well, homosexuals aren't going into heaven. You know, what is that?
Bring some knowledge of,
you know, bring
scriptures.
A little conviction, yeah. There. Point the finger. By the way, Torah means to point the finger. That's what the law does. It points the finger at the sin to show the sinner the disease so you can lead them to the good shepherd who is what? The healer that so many in the professed church in America talk about. Now, what I want to do really quick here is I want to bring you over to the 1800s version. Have you heard this?
I'm not sure. I've never listened to it to see if I've heard it before.
It is awesome.
Okay.
This is Thomas Brook in the 1800s. Now, counter this love to what you hear today, okay? Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. That means to inflict pain or suffering, to humble or to improve, okay? But if by outward affliction thy soul be brought more under the inward teaching of God, doubtless thy afflictions are in love. All the chastening in the world without divine teaching will never make a man blessed. The man that finds correction attended with instruction and lashing with lessons is a happy man.
I like that.
Okay? If God by the affliction that is upon thee shall teach thee how to hate sin more, how to trample upon the world more, how to walk with God more, thy afflictions are in love. If God shall teach thee by afflictions how to die to sin more and how to die to the relations more, to the worldly relations, and how to die to thy self-interest more, thy afflictions are in love. If God shall teach thee by afflictions how to live to Christ more, how to lift up Christ more, how to long for Christ more, thy afflictions are in love. If God shall teach thee by afflictions to get assurance of a better life and to be still in a gracious readiness and preparedness for the day of thy death, thy afflictions are in love. If God shall teach thee by afflictions how to mind heaven more and how to be fit for heaven more, thy afflictions are in love. If God by afflictions shall teach thy proud heart how to be more low and thy hard heart how to grow more humble and thy censorious heart how to grow more charitable, and thy carnal heart how to grow more spiritual, and thy froward heart how to grow more quiet, thy afflictions are in love. I said I would take heed to my ways. That means pay careful attention to my ways, that I will sin not with my tongue. How do we How do we contrast that love with what we're being taught today by a professed church that knows nothing of love except gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy? Final segment coming up, sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. We ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Tim Brown with sonsoflibertymedia.com and freedomoutpost.com. I've been following the Sons of Liberty's ministry for a few years now, and I've gotten to know Bradley Dean on a more personal level since writing about his battles for the youth of America inside the government indoctrination centers we call public schools. He's the real deal. He loves God, and he genuinely loves people. And the message is always one that calls people to remembrance, a remembrance of the price paid for their freedoms by our veterans in the natural realm and the Lord Jesus Christ in the spiritual. As a result of the message, Bradley calls upon people to turn from sin and do what is good and holy before God, obeying His law. I encourage you to support the Sons of Liberty, knowing that the heart of the ministry is to love people enough to tell them the truth and call them back to the old paths, walking in the fear of the Lord.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Imagine if you had a secret code for making money. A code buried deep within biblical text. A code that certain investment titans have quietly exploited to amass billions. And what if this code could be used by you today to unlock vast amounts of wealth safely and ethically? Investment expert and former pastor Sean Hyman says there is such a code. He calls it the Biblical Money Code. Sean credits this code for helping him go from making a mere $15,000 a year to now giving away up to $50,000 a year. And today you have a chance to tap into this life-changing code by visiting the website moneycode23.com. That's moneycode, the number 23.com. At moneycode23.com, you will find a free video that describes how you could use this biblical code in your own life to get out of debt and invest for profits. Visit moneycode23.com for free today. That's moneycode23.com.
In today's unstable environment, self-protection is critical. Civil unrest, riots, looting, it's happening now, right here in the United States, and your rights are at risk. If passed, H.R. 5344 would ban Level 3 and above body armor. KD Armor is standing up for you. We offer the most affordable Level 3 body armor on the market. KD Level 3 armor withstands pistol and rifle hits up to 7.62 NATO. Get yours at KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com. KD Armor, come and take it.
Listen up. GCN Live teams with Prepper and Shooter Magazine to offer an amazing exclusive deal. Be one of the first 1,000 listeners to visit GCNLive.com and click the Prepper and Shooter image. Then receive a free issue of Prepper and Shooter Magazine. Choose the third issue with rock legend Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad on the cover and get the first two issues absolutely free. This exclusive offer ends September 30th, so get your free issue of Prepper and Shooter now, only at GCNLive.com.
So let's bring forth somewhat of a consummation until tomorrow. And the best way to do that is just stick to the plan here. I want you to take a look at a world champion boxer, for example. His coach loves him so much that he wants him above all things to be a winner. So what does that coach do? Does he buy him a sofa, a TV, potato chips, six-pack of Pepsi and a Coke, and maybe a couple banana flips, a couple pizzas? No, he brings the resistance of weights on his shoulders and the pressure against his arms to make him even stronger. He'll even look for the toughest sparring partner that he can find. Because if the boxer doesn't understand what his coach is doing, if he doesn't have faith in his methods, he will get depressed and lose heart. But if he knows what's going on, he will be thankful for the trials because he sees through the eyes of faith and understanding at what his coach is trying to do, and that is to keep a champion a champion. Remember, Jesus said, speaking of love, Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. If the Lord is a good coach, which he is, he's not, by the way, the Bible tells us that he is the captain of our salvation, and we're made perfect through sufferings. If the Lord is a good coach, again, which he is, he's not going to let us do whatever we want to do and make everything easy for us and let us go with the flow of the world, which leads to damnation. No way. He's going to push us to Christ with the use of the law. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Galatians 3:24, Acts 14:22 says, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So if God let us go down the wide and broad path and never give us reproof or chastisings or chastisements to bring us on the straight and narrow, then we would not be the overcomers that God has called us to be. Matter of fact, in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. By the way, I can prove my point in this one scripture as to what we're dealing with in this country. How many churches have you heard preach this? There are some out there that are doing this, but how many in the majority stand down when it's actually time to stand up and preach the word of God? Listen to this scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. For listen to this, okay? For reproof. For correction. For instructions in righteousness. That's not preached from the pulpits anymore. And I want to tell you why. Because the congregants have been taught to say that's judgmental. In their stupidity. In their foolishness. In their lack of knowledge. And in their lack of knowledge, they themselves are being destroyed because they don't understand Scripture. Hey, twist not Scripture the way Satan twisteth Scripture, said Paul Washer. And he was right on the money. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That even stands in contrast to what you're taught. We're not perfect. We're just forgiven. No, but we're being perfected to those that are going on with Christ. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, we would not then be a pure and spotless bride before him, and on the judgment day we would lose. So, for those that are his true children, John 10:4, God will be a faithful coach to them. And in the end, they will win. Why? Because they are being perfected and they are empowered by the Holy Ghost to overcome. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's such a good point. And I want to go back to a point that you were making earlier with Paul. This is what Paul had to say. He said, thrice I was beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. That's a lot of perils.
Yes.
In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which came upon me daily, the care of the churches. And he goes on to talk about all these different things that he has endured for Christ's sake. When you're talking about, you know, looking down at Paul and saying, Paul, how do you know that God loves you? I mean, you're shipwrecked, you're beaten, you've been in perils of robbers, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. How do you know that God loves you? What does he do? He goes to the cross of Christ.
Yes.
He didn't measure God's love for him by his afflictions, because if he did, he would say, there's no way God loved me.
Even when you go to Philippians 3, he describes similar experiences, and then he says, as many as be perfect, follow me.
Yep, that's right. But he also goes on, and I like the other side of this too, is this is what he has to say if we go to 2 Corinthians 4. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Flesh, yep. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And look at all that Paul went through, but look at what came out of it. Look at the teachings of Scripture.
Are you in 2 Corinthians 4?
I'm in 2 Corinthians 4, yes, yeah. So when you look at that, he went through all these trials and tribulations and struggles and shipwrecks and beatings.
That's love.
Stonings. I mean, oh my gosh.
For what? To get us the message that the enemy hindered, not
That's
the
right.
other way around.
And look at the message that we received. I mean, you look at the Scriptures in the Bible and all
was,
of
wait,
that.
Wait. Was he doing the devil's work?
No.
No, because the devil never exposes himself. Only God does that.
That's right. So we need to look at that and look at, boy, my goodness. Some of us complain about the smallest little thing. Oh, this goes wrong. Boo-hoo. Oh, you know, I really can't drive 2 hours to a church service because because I've got to do this and then and the other thing. Listen, in my church service, if it goes over that 45-minute mark on the sermon, I got to leave because we got to get home to the game. Yeah. I got to take my kids to this and that thing. No, listen. The love that we see nowadays is totally unsacrificial. Can't even deny itself.
Just ask the younger generation. Yeah, that's all you have to do. You can go ahead and try to prop up your false version of love all day long, friends. I speak to those that know not the love of Christ. You can go ahead and prop it up all day, but I'll tell you what, you're going to have to prop it up all the way until that final day because no one's buying it, especially our posterity. And in speaking of churches, it was Catherine Booth, the co-founder of the Salvation Army, who is the one that said, a barracks is meant to be a place where real soldiers were fed and equipped for war, not a place to settle down in or a comfortable snuggery in which to enjoy ourselves. I hope that if ever they are soldiers, Christian soldiers, do settle down, God will burn their barracks over their heads.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
That's right.
Can you imagine hearing that today?
Oh, no. People say, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. Burning the barracks? What?
I better call the FBI or the CIA, man. That sounds like terrorism to me.
Yeah, no kidding.
But what's also interesting to note is in these movements, this is why you're beginning to see women really take to the pulpits, too, across the boards, friends. When you read Isaiah 3, it says that the children will be the oppressors, and those that will lead will be the women. Now, friends, when you look at the way that God ordained man, I'm just going to tell you what Scripture says. Scripture tells us that the woman is to be silent in the pulpit. And then it talks about how Paul wasn't deceived, but the woman was deceived. Now, I'm not going down that road, and I'm not picking that fight right now, friends, because there's a lot of women of God out there that really have this stuff, and I high-five them. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a deception coming from the pulpits, and the deception is they're removing the cross, and they're actually turning their supposed gospel of Jesus Christ into humanism. And what you're seeing is this is the version that we're exposing right now, which is heretical, which is not scriptural at all. It's coming from a good portion of the women and the effeminate men. And by the way, that's why the women are taking to the forefront, because the men are not acting as men. And by the way, I high-five them women again, but let's keep it in order in the way that God ordained that we should do things. And if we do it that way, friends, I'll tell you what, we'll prosper in the things of God, but not until then.
Right. As you mentioned earlier, you said it was Eve who was deceived and not Adam.
Oh, yeah. The women today in these churches, they're devil chasers. They're talking about the devil all the time. They're given victory over the devil, and everything is the devil this and the devil that. Wait, Jesus Christ, the King, the line of the tribe of Judah, he was the one that actually broke the back of the devil on the cross of Christ. So why are you giving praise to the devil when in fact Christ is the conqueror, not the enemy?
I really don't understand that one myself, too, because last time I checked, the devil is the defeated foe through Christ and by Christ. So I don't know why in the world people want to focus on the loser rather than the winner.
Yeah.
You know, it's like saying the devil and the devil. What about Christ? Christ is all and in all. And I want to say one more thing just to wrap up this.
And he makes his church more than conquerors
One more thing just to wrap up this, Paul. The early church, Leonard Ravenhill, was married to poverty, prisons, and persecution. Today's church is married to personality, prosperity, and popularity.
Yep.
And of course,
just ask them.
That's right.
Just ask them. You ask them, hey, what church do you go to? Oh, I go to so-and-so's.
Yeah.
Oh, I go to so-and-so's, Pastor. Really? Paul rebukes that in 1 Corinthians.
Right.
You know what? It wasn't so-and-so that was crucified. It wasn't Paul that was crucified. It wasn't Apollos that was crucified. It wasn't me that was crucified. It was Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, that was crucified. That's who our headship is. Not, hey, so-and-so, man, like he's my best friend. Or, you know what? He's the leader of the pack over there. You know, and it's baloney is really what it comes down to. Now, using the name of the preacher to identify his ministry, that's one thing. But when people talk about him like he's the good old boy and whatever he says is law, I challenge you to read Scripture, because you just might find that when you read Scripture, you might find that boy in error.
That's right.
And yourself in error.
That's right. And to sum it up with Paul, remember that his love was the love of the cross, and that's...
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.